Hello and welcome to our Secular Overeaters podcast series, where you'll hear from speakers who have found recovery from food and other addictions without God. For additional information, go to secularovereaters.org. And now let's get to today's podcast.
Now it's time for Alan to lead us in a recovery circle exercise. I'm so looking forward to this because I've wanted to know more information. Alan, ready to take it away?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Alan, a grateful member of OA. Just been in OA about 31 years, keeping off 150 pounds, about 26 of them. And I'm going to talk about OA recovery circles. Just a quick caveat, an OA recovery circle is a tool like many tools, and it's really important to not think of it as a reason to not do other tools. So it doesn't mean to use it as a substitute for not going to OA meetings or not having a sponsor or an accountability buddy. In fact, if you're a newcomer, I would argue that having a sponsor is probably the most important thing, or an accountability buddy. So just be careful to not, you know, give this too much hierarchy in the beginning. That said, I've been in about four recovery circles over my 20 or 30 years in OA. A couple of them lasted like 15 years. I'm in a couple now, and it's been a very helpful tool for me, which is why I'm sharing it. And everything I'm going to say today has been written up in a document, which you're all going to get. So don't feel like you have to take tedious notes. And in addition, we'll have an exercise where you can experience what it's like to get a sense of it as well. That's really the main way we'll use this time. So essentially, an OA recovery circle is just a small number of members of OA who get together to share what's going on in their program. And unlike a regular meeting, it's small and it's a closed group. It can either be physically together, which was more what they were before the COVID world, but these days it can be on Zoom or any other platform, and is probably better for this community since we're scattered all over the world. So the basic guidelines are that, like an OA meeting, everything that's shared there should be confidential, and held in respect. And one of the key points is that the time is evenly divided so that everyone gets a fair share. And typically, they're an hour, or they could be an hour and a half, or whatever the group decides. And when somebody gets their turn to share, you know, they get the proportion of the time. So if it's four people in an hour, they would get 15 minutes. And they can do one of two things. They can just talk. They can just share and have people be present. And often, you know, so much of what happens at OA meetings, you just need a place to kind of say things aloud and really just talk about what's in your heart and what's on your mind. Or you can use some of the time to get feedback, which is allowing people to give you guidance, which is something we normally do not do at meetings, but often we do with sponsor relationships. So it's sort of, you know, in that middle ground. In terms of what people talk about, it really falls into two buckets, abstinence and recovery. In terms of abstinence, very basically, you can ask yourself the question, how is my abstinence or my relationship with food going? What is working well for me? What's not working so well? What needs more attention? Just a place to kind of overview where your abstinence is at. The second would be your recovery. And recovery, it's really those same questions. You know, what is working well in my recovery? What's not going so well in my recovery? What needs more attention? And it really can just be a self-inventory around abstinence and recovery. But if you do choose to get feedback, feedback's a sensitive thing because, you know, sort of giving people permission to give us guidance in our lives. And so some guidelines for feedback is, of course, it should be honest, and then it should be kind. I can't say enough for the power of kindness in all communications, really, non-judgmental. And the whole goal should be to support the other person's recovery. And it's important to, you know, be careful to not sort of get too caught up in like, well, my experience, what I did in that, because what you did in that situation really may have little or no relevance to what I need. So it's really important to, we sort of have this like sort of telling our story culture in a way, and sometimes that's not the best thing. In addition, you know, I sometimes use the term ecology of time, because time is precious. So we just sort of want to have awareness of how much time we're taking as we whether share or give feedback, and not get too caught up in, you know, our own narratives, which it's so easy to do. In terms of forming one of these groups, they're tricky to form, quite honestly. It takes, the best way I describe it is, if you want one of these groups, sort of take the bull by the horn. This group will do some sharing of numbers and time zones to make it a little bit easier. But you kind of really have to make the decision that you want to form one of these and go out and create it. Some guidelines is, I found an ideal number is around 4 people, 4 to 5, you know, 3 is okay. 6 is starting to get big. I wouldn't go much more than like in a 3 to 6 range. There needs to be a decision about how long to make the groups. Hour, hour and a half is typical guidelines I found useful. The next question is frequency. This group can meet once a week, twice a week, once every 2 weeks. Really, it can meet whatever works well. It should be important that attendance is a high priority, that if you sign on to do this, you're really going to do it. It's not just going to be, see how that day goes. It should have a high level of priority. And then the group can have other focuses. For example, it could be people that have all lost 100 pounds or bulimics or LGBTQ or people that are, you know, plant-based diets, whatever. The group that I'm currently in, for example, we meet every other week, which was good for us. We meet for an hour. I wanted it to have 4 people, and I wanted it to be people that were married in long-term relationships and people where their partner was not in recovery, you know, because that's it. And that's what I wanted. And I went out and I found people that met that criteria. And I wanted it to be on Tuesdays or Thursdays after dinner, you know? So I had that whole agenda in my mind. And it took me probably to get the other 3 people. I asked 6 or 7 to do that, you know, and different people, I can't do that time, I'm not interested, et cetera. So you really kind of have to, you know, like they say, take the bull by the horns and say, I want to do this. But I can tell you that when people join these groups, they really like them. It like really helps. It's very powerful to have that care and that feedback. Let's see. Anything else I can say? First, everything I'm saying is just my suggestions and guidelines. You know, it's everyone, you know, does what they like. But I would emphasize the most important things, that you time it so it's evenly shared, so that, you know, it doesn't get dominated. Everyone gets an even amount of time. You can have a formal timer, or people can just be self-aware. Sometimes it's nice when people are self-aware. It has less of a ringing bell kind of energy to it. And that if you do allow feedback, to be really thoughtful and just kind of, you know, from your heart, only give things that you believe will help the person. And I will just close by saying that sometimes things that are so unobvious to us because we're caught in our own food fog are really simple for a person who's not in our disease. I mean, it could be as simple as like, oh my God, what am I going to do for Halloween? I don't want to give out the trick-or-treating candy. You know, I've lost 50 pounds and I have 50 more to lose. And I always binge on Halloween. And the other person might say, well, maybe it's worth not giving out candy this year because losing 50 pounds is way more important than a couple of hours of seeing little kids in costumes. You know, I mean, it could just be like, oh, you know, it's amazing how we don't see obvious things, and just having another perspective, someone who's not caught in that thinking. So it's quite powerful. You know, it's like collectively, we often have wisdom and insight that we can't have alone, which is really the essence of OA to me. So with that, we're now going to go into little breakout rooms that basically we'll divide the time evenly. I believe it's 20 minutes, so about 4 to 5 minutes each. Somebody should please be the timer to help track. And you're really speaking to 2 questions again. How is my abstinence? What's going well, not so well? What might need more attention? How's my overall recovery? You know, my life as a whole. And again, what's going well, not so well, what might need a little more attention. And you can decide if you'd like feedback. It's a short period of time, so you may not. And you may want to exchange information with each other to possibly seed a recovery circle just from this exercise. So that being said, I think we now go to the group breakout.
Okay. Well, thank you, Alan, for that exercise. I hope everyone enjoyed their experience. I know I did. If you are interested in joining or creating a recovery circle, Maura is here to tell us more.
Hi, I'm Maura. I'm a compulsive overeater. So just to kind of say, we started in January just collecting names and came to like 26 names. I held a couple of like Zoom meetings just to kind of have people show up and maybe find people that were interested in working with. So that happened, and the 3 groups that it did happen for did actually get up and running. One of them disbanded within a few weeks. The recovery circles are great for those who are using them, and we're getting kind of feedback that's kind of saying, my eating now is dramatically different to it was before. No longer a night eater, that kind of thing. And one person kind of says that having 40 years of not being abstinent. They've now got 30 plus days of being abstinent for the first time ever. So there are things that recovery circles can help you towards if you're ready to engage with them and you're working them in the way that they should be, which is all about abstinence and recovery. So you need to know what it's there to deliver, and you need to, that needs to be something that you want for yourself from that group. The byproduct is support and connection. The only suggestion really was two things: compatibility, and that's really important. So somebody spoke earlier and talked about, you know, is being a vegan important to you? Is being an atheist important to you? Can't be in groups that don't have that. And it's certainly one of the kind of the key parts of our group is that we don't have to hear higher power and so on kind of spread around, because it just would get in the way of our recovery and it would trigger things. And not having that has made a huge difference to all three of us. We only have a small group. The other group that's running is larger than that. It depends on kind of what size you're comfortable with. There's a note page that kind of Jenny's going to put out that will give you all the guidelines on that. So to me, there's a very clear first meeting. And I think we've kind of made assumptions about that before. But you need somebody who's going to be like the driving force, the person that kind of gets this up and running. The factors are that make a difference. One of the things is very clearly, do you want a monthly or do you want a weekly? Is it for restrictors only? Is it for kind of like people who are much more overeating focused? You know, what would be easiest for your group to get along? So put together a kind of a who, when, where, what, whatever. So you kind of got the who's the host, and figuring out that first, somebody taking responsibility for thinking, I'm going to get this to the first meeting. And then at the first meeting, you can discuss the rest of the things. You know, is there a regular timekeeper? Is somebody going to summarise at the end? Because one of the things that we have in our group is action plans. One of the things that we've really noticed is the value of having alongside the recovery circle and a WhatsApp group. So in our WhatsApp group, we will kind of send, you know, maybe a picture of the walk that we went on today, not just to demonstrate that we did go on a walk, but to kind of just give people a sense of where we live or whatever's going on in our life. Or we'll kind of like say things are terrible. So you can either reach out with it, or you can just kind of say, wow, I made it up the stairs and I'm not breathless. Something, just small, small wins that all kind of adds up. But without that driving force, you won't get it off the ground.
Okay, thank you so much, Maura, for your information. And thank you, Alan. I really enjoyed my circle experience, as well as learning more about Recovery Circle.
Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like to support our efforts, please visit secularovereaters.org and consider making a donation.